Good morning, Bridge City Church. How's everybody doing this morning? Y'all doing good? Awesome. Well, if I haven't had the opportunity to meet you yet, I'm Pastor Nick. I'm the campus pastor here at the White Oak campus of Bridge City Church. And I'm so excited you all decided to spend your Sunday morning here worshiping God and praising His name. Listen, I say it every Sunday. I'll continue to say it. I'll never stop saying it. There's no place I'd rather be than right here with you all worshiping God and praising His name. We get to continue our Sunday school series this morning. Everybody get your snack as you walked in. Hold it up and shake it. Come on, I want to hear the noise. I want to hear the cellophane. Come on, Sean. You don't have one? If you don't have one, raise your hand. Jimmy's going to get you one. Come on, keep shaking it till everybody gets their snack. Make noise. Make everybody that doesn't have one feel bad. All the kids that didn't get one. All right, listen, if you already got a snack and you ate it, raise your hand. Come on, Rudy. All right, if you already ate it, you can get another one. You can get another one. But listen, rules of Sunday school, they're going to pop up as people are getting their snack. Number one, be a good listener. You have to be a good listener in Sunday school. It's the first rule. You're all listening so far. Number two, follow directions. You all shook your snack. You followed directions. If you didn't have one, you raised your hand. Number three, raise your hand to speak. Does anybody have a question? Anybody have something they want to say? Miss Yester, you raised your hand. What would you like to say? You just need a snack? That's all you're raising your hand for? Anybody else have something they want to say? They want to raise their hand to speak? Anyone? Day-Day, you like my blazer? Everybody's shocked that I wore a blazer, like I've never worn a blazer before. Some people walked in and thought it was Easter. Yeah, I just want to rock a blazer today. I'll switch it up on you, keep you confused. All right, number four, be kind to others. Rule of Sunday school. Number five, do your best. Just try hard. I'm going to try hard to preach the Word of God today. I'm going to try really hard. We're going to see how it goes. Okay, can we do that? Listen, why are we doing Sunday school? Why are we having this? We're talking about foundational stories within the Bible. Foundational stories that our faith is built upon. I didn't have the privilege and the honor and the gift of being able to attend Sunday school as a child. Today we're talking about Esther, an amazing woman within the Bible. I didn't grow up hearing the story of Esther and the amazing story about walking in your purpose. The closest thing that I heard about Esther, the closest name to Esther growing up as a child was actually Ethel, who worked at Bloom's in McKeesport. Come visit Ethel. Come on, if you grew up in McKeesport, you know all about Ethel. There was a sign on the door, come on in, visit Ethel. It was up there for years. I think Ethel was 120 years old before she died. How many McKeesporters I got in the room that know about Ethel? Day-Day's the only one. Come on, Roger, you know about Ethel. She was in there. You went in there and bought stink bombs as a kid. But I didn't know about Esther. I knew nothing about the amazing story that is Esther. That's why we're doing this, because there are people in our midst right now that have no idea of this story. There are children that are upstairs that are learning this story for the first time, and they're going to get to go home with their parents and talk about the Bible for the first time. They're going to get to go home and hear from their parents the Bible spoken about. And they're going to meet at the same level. Sunday school is not just for children. It's all of us having the opportunity to learn. Embracing our place here and now. Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God. Most of us stop there. We like that verse. Everything works for the good of those who love God. We love it, but we don't finish the verse. And are called according to His purpose for them. Everything's going to work together for the good of those who love God if it's aligned with the purpose for your life. Are you walking in the purpose of God that He has for you? Is everything that you're doing aligned with the purpose that He has for your life? If so, all the stuff that comes along with life is going to work out. What's the stuff that I'm talking about? Because stuff happens. When I was a kid, that is not the way that that phrase was said. That's not the bumper sticker that I saw as a kid. It was a different S, and the T was in a different spot. But it happens. You're going to have the worst day of your life. You're going to get that bad diagnosis. You're going to lose that loved one. You're going to lose that job. You're not going to get that promotion. You're not going to get that raise that you thought you were going to get when you thought you were going to get it. That car that you have is going to break down. That car that you wanted, you're not going to get. And I'm talking about myself here. I'm just listing my stuff. You got your own stuff that you're going to deal with. Your own loved ones you're going to lose. We lost a great member of Bridge City Church this past week. John Kwasinski passed away. He's not in his seat this week. But his family's here. And they're going to continue to wave his flag. And they're going to continue to fill that row and the rows around it. Because that was the lineage he carried. They're not going to stop carrying the purpose of that family when stuff happens. Church, what are you going to do when stuff happens? That is the point of our message today. Every situation in your life can work out for your good if you embrace three really uncomfortable things. You have to embrace the reality that you're in. You have to embrace help. And you have to embrace the fear. Not live in it. Not dwell there. But embrace it. It's okay. It's going to be okay. Those three things. You can embrace those. It's going to be all right. And we're going to walk through those three things in the story of Esther. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much for giving your son. God, I thank you that you're constantly and will continue to prove your character and your love to your children. God, I thank you that your promises are true. God, that you are constantly and will constantly prove your character and your love during chaotic times and calamity. God, I thank you that you're a constant example proven through your word, and that we can build our faith on your word, and that your word gives us hope. God, I thank you that you're making us stronger, braver, and more courageous than we could have ever possibly thought. Not because of ourselves, but because of you. In Jesus' glorious name. And everybody said, amen. Everybody got your doodle sheets ready? Where's your doodle sheets? Hold them up, shake them. This isn't just so you can have a fun piece of paper. If you don't take notes at church, whether it be on a piece of paper, in a journal, on your phone, take pictures of the screen behind me, everything that I say goes in one ear or out the other. The only thing that you're going to remember from today is that stuff happens. And when you walk outside these doors, you're going to say it a different way. I know you are. Okay? That's all you're going to remember. Brittany, I'm sharing the Wi-Fi password with you. I got you. It's done. Everybody else is going to go do it now. Take notes. This is just an appetizer for your week. Let's set the background of the story that we're going to pick up on. We know that the story of Esther takes place between 470 and 480 BC. It's pretty accurate that the king of Persia in this story reigned during this time, and he married Esther in the seventh year of his reign. This is about 50 years after the first Jews took the option to return to Israel. Most Jews didn't return. It's a reason for another study. We'll do that at another time, or you could do that on their own. But these Jews had integrated into Persia and the society. It was a couple generations after Daniel. So these Jews, they had freedom to worship as they wished. But King Xerxes was a son of Cyrus the Great, and he overthrew Babylon, and he let the Jews return to Israel. And King Xerxes was also the king who led Persia into the war that defeated Greece. All the guys are going to like this part. Think the movie 300. How many of you ever saw the movie 300? Any ladies in here not see the movie 300? Go ahead. You never saw it, Eileen? That's a great movie night for you and Jeff. You could sit down, he could smoke a brisket, make some macaroni and cheese, some coleslaw, so you could watch 300. There you go. I'll come over for dinner. Rachel would love to watch 300 again. We can say with good confidence that Greece was defeated in the chapters of 1 and 2. Now, our story begins when Persia is under no threat. They're not being hunted. There's no hunters. And God's blessing falls upon Esther. Now, remember I said that this is just an appetizer? Appetizers get your appetite ready to eat more. It's not the full meal. We're not going to get to touch on every single part of this story. As a matter of fact, we may not even finish the story in its entirety. We may finish with a dot, dot, dot. A to be continued. So that means you're going to need to open your Bible and finish the story when you leave. Oh, how dare he do that? Because that's my job, to get you to read on your own. I can't understand it. Keep saying that. The enemy loves when you say you can't understand the Word of God. Let's go here. Chapter 1 ends with King Xerxes without a wife. The empire has expanded. There's a few years that have passed since Vashti was removed. Why was Vashti removed? She embarrassed him publicly. He banned her from his presence. He said, "Bye, Vashti. Get from here. Don't embarrass me." He kicked Vashti out. This is a great story. How can you not fall in love with reading the Bible? Y'all watch all these shows on Netflix and Hulu and whatever other streaming service there is. This is a great story. This is like Real Housewives of the Bible. So, he's without a wife. He wants another one. I don't know why. But he does. And basically, he's going to hold a beauty contest. He's going to hold a contest for his next wife. Enter Esther. Now remember, the Jews are the minority. Esther's a young Jewish girl. Her parents had passed away, and she was being raised by Mordecai. It's another fun name. Let's all say it. Mordecai. Put a little zest on it. Mordecai. Come on, a little more. Mordecai. Remember, this is Sunday school. We're having fun. The Bible's fun. If we were upstairs with the kids, they'd all be like, "Mordecai." It appears that he had to encourage her to take part in the contest. Imagine that. Your older cousin, like, "Come on, you can do it. Go be a part of a beauty contest. You could do it. Get all dolled up." Esther becomes a finalist. Imagine this. You put a pony in the race, and they're in the finals. Mordecai had to be so proud at this moment. Also awkward, but this is a proud moment. What does this mean? All the girls had prepared for a year and were prepared by Haggai, who was in charge of all the women. Now, she found favor with Haggai and appears to have had a little bit of favor treatment. Now, it was her turn to go in with the king. Now, that means that they work together. We're going to keep it G here. Now, I don't mean like a McKee Sport G. I mean like a G rating. Get what I'm saying here, okay? She went in with the king. Feel me? Y'all get me? Okay. We could go farther if y'all get me. She went with the king. Okay, where'd she go? All around. Now, after some contemplating, lo and behold, this little orphan Jewish girl becomes the queen of the world. She got the power of Persia. She was the chosen woman of the contest. Let's pick it up. Esther 2, 16 and 17. Esther was taken to King Xerxes at the royal palace in early winter of the seventh year of his reign. And the king loved Esther more than any other young woman. And he was so delighted with her, he set the royal crown on her head and declared her queen instead of Vashti. That's gangster. He took Vashti's crown, told her to get from there, and then here comes Esther. This little lowly Jewish girl who had nothing is now queen. This is better than Cinderella. This is the real deal. This isn't any Hallmark movie, but if it was, this is the moment where the credits start to roll. You're crying. You got your tissues. Everything's going, and they go and live happily ever after. However, this is reality. This is the real deal here. This is what's going down. But remember, stuff happens. Everything seems perfect, but no matter how hard you try, no matter how perfect things seem to be, stuff is always going to happen. Esther starts to embrace her reality. She starts to embrace the fact that she's queen. Now, Mordecai, let's say it, Mordecai. I love it. Remains close to Esther. Now, he hasn't told anyone her little secret that she's a Jew. Esther 3:1. Sometime later, King Xerxes promoted Haman, son of, let's try to say it together. Y'all ready? Hamadatha. Sounds good. The Agagite over the other nobles, making him the most powerful official in the empire. All the king's officials would bow down before Haman to show him respect whenever he passed by. For so the king had commanded. But Mordecai, y'all are backing down off that now. I get it. It's okay. It's okay. You're ready for snack time. We'll get there. Refused to bow down to show him respect. Now remember, Mordecai refuses to bow down to this man. He refuses to show him this type of respect. Haman's the second in command over the nation above the king. Sounds a lot like the story we went through last week with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, doesn't it? They wouldn't bow down to anyone but God. The palace officials started to get angry. And here we go, more snitches. Where do snitches go? Snitches get or end up in. There we go. Then the palace officials at the king's gate asked Mordecai, "Why are you disobeying the king's command?" They spoke to him day after day, but still he refused to comply with the order. So they spoke to Haman about this to see if he would tolerate Mordecai's conduct, since Mordecai had told them he was a Jew. He didn't just do this once. He did it daily. Now listen, this is a strong, risky, bold move. This isn't just, I'm not wearing a mask because I was told. This isn't just, oh, I'm not following that rule or that order. No, this is, I'm not doing this and I could be killed. I'm pretty sure that, and I'm pretty confident in the fact that if you stand up for your faith, you're not going to be put in an opportunity where you're going to be killed. I'm pretty confident in saying that. You may be put in a position where you feel awkward, where you feel uncomfortable. But church, are you fully going to embrace your reality and stand up for your God and what you believe in? No matter what. And I'm not just talking about on Facebook. Everybody's brave on Facebook. Everybody has guts on Facebook. Everybody will share something on Facebook. I'm talking about in real life, where it matters. Your true character. It's noteworthy here that Mordecai is not an educated Jewish leader. He's not a big-time guy. He's just a caring cousin who's committed to God. That's all he is. What does it tell you? It tells you that Mordecai can trust God in any situation, and you could trust God in any of yours. Any situation that comes in life, you could trust God. Doesn't matter your position, doesn't matter your title, doesn't matter your age, doesn't matter who you are, whose family you're a part of, what your last name is, what your past is, what your present is, what you think your future may be. You can trust God in any situation. Mordecai's just a caring cousin with a fun name to say. Haman finds out that Mordecai's a Jew and plots not just to kill Mordecai, but to kill every Jew. Ruh-roh. Guess who's a Jew? Esther. Secret's about to come out. What's she going to do? Story's getting thick now. Esther 3, 8 through 9, 8 through 10. Then Haman approached King Xerxes and said, there's a certain race of people scattered through all the provinces of your empire who keep themselves separate from everyone else. Their laws are different from those of any other people, and they refuse to obey the laws of the king. So it's not in the king's interest to let them live. If it pleases the king, issue a decree that they be destroyed, and I'll give 10,000 large sacks of silver to the government, the administrators, to be deposited to the royal treasury. The king agreed, confirming his decision by removing his signet ring from his finger and giving it to Haman, son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the enemy of the Jews. This man has so much anger, so much frustration that was birthed, that he convinces King Xerxes not just to kill Mordecai, but to kill all the Jews. He's so vested in this anger that he's going to completely finance it. He's willing to finance the destruction of a whole entire group of people, men, women, children. He put it on the calendar. Esther 3:13. Dispatches were sent by swift messengers, not slow messengers, not snail mail, swift ones, into all the provinces of the empire, giving the order that all Jews, young and old, including women and children, must be killed, slaughtered, and annihilated. Why couldn't they just use one word? Why wasn't killed just enough? No, killed, slaughtered, and annihilated on a single day. This was scheduled to happen on March 7th of the next year. The property of the Jews would be given to those who killed them. How would you like to get that letter? I've gotten some rough letters before, but none of them said, hey, in 11 months, your wife and your son and you are going to be killed, slaughtered, And then we're going to totally annihilate you and give all your stuff to the people that did it. Stuff happens. Put that on a bumper sticker. How would you react? How would you live the next 11 months? There's people that want to annihilate your belief system. There's people that want to slaughter the things that you believe in. They want to annihilate the things you believe in. They didn't send you a letter, but they're fighting against it. They didn't set a date. How are you living your life? What are you standing up for? Jews all over the land were fasting, weeping, wearing sackcloths and ashes, mourning. And as you can imagine, Mordecai's no different. Mordecai's right outside the king's gate. Esther is made aware and sends clothing to get him so he could change. He refuses the clothes. She sends someone out to find him and see what's going on. And Mordecai explains it all to her. Attendant who goes to speak with her. Her attendant even takes a copy of the edict so she could read. Esther 4:8, Mordecai gave Hathach a copy of the decree issued in Susa that called for the death of all the Jews. It was taken to be shown to Esther and explained the situation to her. He also asked that Hathach be in direct contact and go to the king to beg for mercy and plead for her people. So she returned to Esther with Mordecai's message. Mordecai makes it all clear to her, gives her instructions, go to the king and beg for mercy. Esther's whole entire world is turned upside down. The Cinderella story has just taken a turn in the wrong direction. She is living the dream. The dream just became a nightmare. Stuff happened. She can't just go to the king. She can't just go in there and pull the queen card. She's a Jew. And he doesn't know. Her response was no. Verses 10 through 12. Send this message to Mordecai. All the king's officials and even the people in the provinces know that anyone who appears before the king in his inner court without being invited is doomed to die unless the king holds out his gold scepter. Snack time. You're probably wondering why in the world you have a lollipop. Look at your little mini scepter, everybody. What flavor did y'all get? Orange? Huh? Shout it out. Cherry? Cotton candy? Strawberry? Who got mystery? What is it? You don't know yet? My mystery was butterscotch, and it was weird after I ate a Smartie last time. I got pineapple this time. I'm pretty happy about it. Lime. What's your mystery? Orange. Well, good thing he has parental supervision. Good thing. I'm happy he's with you. Is he okay now? Good. Anybody got Smarties, your jewels? You want to pick up the story after we talked about the scepter? Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. And the king has not called for me to come to him for 30 days. Esther's message was given to Mordecai. Verse 13 and 14, Mordecai sent this reply to Esther. Don't think for a moment that because you're in the palace, you will escape when all the other Jews are killed. If you keep quiet at this time, this deliverance and relief for the Jews will arise in some other place, but you and your relatives will die. Who knows if perhaps you were made queen for such a time as this?" Mordecai just gave her a huge dose of reality. He reminded her of maybe what her purpose is. Don't think you'll get away with hiding as queen. Don't think you'll get away with hiding behind this facade. This is a crisis. You can't just pretend everything's okay. You can't just sweep things under the rug and think everything's just going to be okay. Embrace your reality. A problem so many of us have in our life is we don't embrace our reality. We just want to pretend like everything's okay. We just want to pretend like it's just going to go away. We don't want to embrace help in our life. We ignore stuff. Out of sight, out of mind. We don't answer that voicemail. Put that past due notice under the countertop. I choose not to think about how I may hurt my spouse or the words that come out of my mouth or my loved one or my coworker. I choose to ignore the fact that this may have hurt somebody, or that may have hurt somebody. Here's a big one. We choose to ignore the fact that there's people around us that are going to hell. Somebody else will deal with it. Somebody else will share the gospel with that person. Somebody else will love them into the kingdom. Esther was faced with a crisis of epic proportion. She had to embrace her reality, or stuff was going to happen in a lot of people's lives. If we don't embrace reality, we're hiding from it. Esther 4:14, our memory verse. We're not going to read it out loud today. But I want you to take a picture. I want you to write it down. If you keep quiet at a time like this, deliverance and relief for the Jews will arise from some other place. But you and your relatives will die. Who knows if perhaps you were made queen for such a time as this? We need to embrace help when we embrace our reality. Every situation can work out for your good if you embrace those three uncomfortable truths. Esther knew that. Verse 15, she sent this reply to Mordecai. "Go and gather together all the Jews, Susa, and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will do the same. And then, though it is against the law, I will go and see the king. If I must die, I must die." So Mordecai went away and did everything as Esther had ordered him. When you embrace your reality, you need to embrace the fact that you're going to need help to go through it. When you're going through that worst day of your life, or when stuff happens, you need to be bold enough to call that person in your life and say, "Hey, there's some stuff in my life right now, and I need you to help." They may not be able to fix it, but they can listen. You know who taught me how to start revealing the stuff in my life and be open and honest about it? Rob Benedetti, Pastor Larry. Pastor Rick, some other men in my life that I can call when stuff hits the fan. Embrace help. Let the facade fall down. Esther did that. She embraced her reality. She embraced help. Go and tell all the other Jews, fast for what I'm about to do. I may die, and I don't care, because I'm doing what's right. Remember, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. She embraced fear. If I must die, I must die. She knew what she was about to do. We're going to start landing the plane. I'm going to invite Jess up. And I want us to remember what I said in the beginning. We may end with a dot, dot, dot. Church, Esther's in a dire situation. Her own life's on the line. The nation's literally in balance. She embraced her reality. She embraced help of all the other Jews. She embraced her fear. She enters the king's presence. I can't help but think of the emotions that's going through this little Jewish girl's mind and heart at this moment. The little Jewish orphan. Wonder what her heart rate was. If she had an Apple Watch back then, it was probably about ready to explode. Esther 5, 1 and 2. On the third day of the fast, Esther put on her royal robes and entered the court of the palace just across from the king's hall. The king was sitting on his royal throne facing the entrance when he saw the queen Esther standing there in the inner court. He welcomed her and held out his gold scepter to her. So Esther approached and touched the end of the scepter. How amazing. He held out his scepter and welcomed her into his presence. And he asked her in verse 3 of chapter 5, "What do you want, Queen Esther? What is your request? I'll give it to you, even if it is half the kingdom." I want you to finish the story, but I'll tell you, Esther will not die. And through an elaborate plan, God came through. The Jews were saved. Not just saved, but Haman was sentenced to death by the king, and the Jews, on the day that they were supposed to be killed, slaughtered, and annihilated, were instead able to defend and destroy and kill their enemies. Church, there's so much more to this story. I want you to read the rest of the book of Esther. I want you to recognize that when one person embraced their place, the lives of many were changed. Why is this story foundational in our faith? Because imagine if a group of people at four campuses at Bridge City Church would embrace their place in this time, this moment in time, 2022, would embrace their place, what our communities would look like. I used to say I was born in the wrong era. You know why? I love Motown. You throw the Temptations on, I go to a different place. David Ruffin starts singing, oof. You could sing a phone book to me. I used to say I was born in the wrong era, and then I stopped saying it. You know why? I was born for such a time as this. I was born to be in 2022 at this time, in this place, for this moment, with these people, in this community. I want to see White Oak, McKeesport, North Versailles, East McKeesport, Elizabeth, North Huntington, Clareton, Irwin, Port View, fill in your town. If I missed it, I missed it. The surrounding area changed for the gospel. And you know how it's going to happen? If a group of people in this place embrace their reality, embrace help, and embrace the fear of what it's going to take to go outside these walls and share the gospel. You all were created for such a time as this. Who knows? Perhaps you were made queen just for a time such as this. Perhaps you're just in the place just as God intended you to be. As we close today, I know that there are people in this room that you have challenges right now. Stuff is happening right now. I know that there are diagnoses in this room that you don't like. I know that there are financial situations in this room right now that you don't like. I know that there are marriages in this room that are falling apart and you don't like it. I don't like it. I know that there are wayward children in this room and I don't like it and you don't like it. I know that there is stuff that is currently on the fan. But we need to embrace the reality, embrace the help that's around you, and embrace the fear, and let's go forward and fight for what's worth fighting for. Let's bow our heads. Father God, I thank you so much that we can embrace our reality and stop making excuses and stop ignoring the battles that are before us. God, I pray that every single person that can hear my voice, both in person and online, will embrace the help that's being offered to them. God, that each and every one of us will humble ourselves and ask for help and will take the input that's given. God, I pray that each and every one of us will embrace fear and will move past it through a faith in Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that if there's anyone in this room right now that has not placed their faith fully in Jesus, that they would accept the offer that's about to be given to them. If you're in this place today and you don't have a day, a time, a moment, a place where you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want today to be your day, July 24th, 2022, at White Oak, Pennsylvania, at 3001 Jack's Run Road, 15131. If you don't have a moment where you've repented of your past, received forgiveness, and asked Jesus to be the leader into your future, I want today to be your day. And it's real simple. I just want you to slip up your hand and say, Jesus, that's me. So somebody can come beside you and help you walk through that decision. I see that hand. Yes and amen. Keep it up. Anyone else here today? Maybe you received that before, but you walked away from it and you want to walk in to the presence of Jesus again and rededicate your life. Anyone at all today? Father God, we celebrate with our brother and we join with heaven as they rejoice. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Everybody says yes and amen. Rob's going to wrap us up.